in a battle to the, well, not to the death, just somebody's going to win it.
It'll be close.
Yeah.
To the third round.
Yeah, I guarantee you, Tom Izzo's going to feel like he were dead if they happen to lose this game. But I hope they win, because then we can play the Tom Izzo clip. They are tied at 8 apiece with 11:24 to go in the first half, and we are counting down game numero uno. And there is a guy that I know will be watching closely the horses today and through the weekend, but will also be watching the basketball closely through the weekend. His name is Jeff Taylor. We like to call him Money. What's up, Money? How are you?
Good morning, Justin. How are you?
Everything's beautiful. What, before we get to the horse talk, who is in your Final Four?
Well, I drank the Kool-Aid like the rest of us, I think, with the Big Ten. If they lose, I don't. I mean, that's, or I don't win, certainly. But I went pretty blue chip. I've got Indiana, Louisville. I've looked at so many of these. I actually like Wisconsin,
okay,
and Georgetown. So Louisville, okay, Wisconsin, and the in the left, and Georgetown and Indy on the right.
And who's your overall champ?
Indiana.
Okay.
Indiana.
I got no problem with that.
But yeah, like, I say, you know, at Big Ten, I reached the same conclusion as a lot of people, that the Big Ten, I thought, was just a cut above the rest of conferences this year, maybe other than the Big East. But
I like
so
the battle test.
Valparaiso beat Michigan State, just proved that theory right off the bat, and then I got a long, long bracketology ahead of it. It's nothing like when you're a commissioner and you got to grade like 100 sets of papers every night, and you've been mathematically eliminated before the second round. That's not really what I'm looking forward to. So go Big Ten. Go Big Ten.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for your sake, I hope that works out. Michigan State went on a 5-0 run, and then Valpo came back with a bucket, and now Michigan State just hit a three. They're up 16-10 now with just under 10 minutes to go. Well, let's get to the picks of the track today, Monty. What do you got for us?
Well, it's kind of an interesting card. You know, a couple of nice, interesting races. Some of these lower-level races, I think, are wide, wide open. But much like my basketball picks, I went pretty blue chip with the selection process today. The opener will go to number 4, Mrs. Rosa. Not much form for her going two turns on the main track, but she has routed pretty well on the turf. I think she takes a pretty significant class drop here as well, from $20 down to $7,500 in claiming price. John Cox, solid barn, leading rider, Mr. Santana in the iron. So a lot going for number 4, Mrs. Rosa, in the opener. Second race, we've got lower level maiden. I like number 8, Queen B. Teresa. Really let Robbie Alvarado's agent make up my mind for me here. He rode, Robbie did both the horses that was inside, number 7, Ocean Park, and Queen B last time out. They opted to ride Queen B back solo. We'll go with the 8 horse in the second. Square price there at 3-1. So our double numbers are 4 and 8. Let's move to the featured race this afternoon. And this is going to, I think, maybe have some repercussions for the great 3 Count Fleet Handicap coming at the Racing Festival in a few weeks. Justin Phillips finally gets a spot. I think he can return to his winning ways in. He has been overmatched, I felt like, in graded company his last 3 or 4. He needs a confidence booster, and I think he gets it today. That's number 7, Justin Phillips, heavy favorite in today's featured 8, but he does look the part. Our long shot play comes back in the 4th race of the afternoon. That's another one of these lower-level maiden races that looks so wide open. I like number 4, Corner of the Storm, in there. Alex Berzer takes over the riding chores. Trouble Trip in this filly's only other start, and several in here that are going to get play have had opportunities to win. Corner of the Storm at least had an excuse last time out, which she didn't break very well. Nice workout since then. So let's go 10-1 with number 4, Corner of the Storm, our buzz long shot lay of the day.
I figure you go with Taylor's Moonbeam. Not much of a long shot, but
yeah, I gave up those hunch bets a long time ago. Trust me, because you've been in the business a few years. You kind of see anything that can happen, and you know, nothing against that horse's chances. Would be a total surprise, I suppose, if he won.
What's easier to predict, horses or the NCAA tournament?
Believe me, I back in the younger days, I played both with a good degree of exuberance, as we shall say, and. They're both equally difficult to label, and that's what makes this tournament thing and why it's really, in my lifetime, has really captured the imagination of the country. Other than maybe the Super Bowl, I think it gets more attention than any other sporting event, and it's spread out around 3 weeks, and everybody loves to play it, everybody likes to do it, and the unpredictability of it really makes it, I think, appealing to everybody.
Yeah, the great thing is, too, we get the championship on Monday, and then that Thursday night we start the that Thursday morning we start the Masters, so
yeah.
That's going to be a fun
and
week, too.
And baseball's still getting cranked up. It's a magical time of the year. We got the Racing Festival, of course, coming up. I love the spring.
No doubt about it. Money, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right,
and
Justin.
tomorrow we'll spend a little time kind of looking back on the Rebel, too. We didn't get a chance to get into that today,
but we'll definitely do need to take a look at that because it has nationwide implications. It certainly did.